it's going to start with you can't teach your child to stand up for themselves if they don't have any self-worth. So you really have to make sure that their self-esteem and their self-worth is intact and it's not attached to anything that would make them feel better. Like there's so many applications nowadays. My daughter was getting hooked on that, feeling some sort of self-worth based on how these people were responding or likes. And I had to shut that down.
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is Stand Up to Bullies with Confidence and Resilience. And for this episode, I have got a wonderful guest here, Lisa McGrath. Please briefly introduce yourself, that people know who you are, where you are from, and especially your topic, because you're in a special business.
Okay, so my name is Lisa McGrath. I am in, Alberta, Canada. So I'm a construction consultant by day. I'm also a fellow podcaster that talks about construction. And then I have two kids. I'm a single mom. And looks like our episode is going to be helping kids navigate bullying and standing tall. And I think this is the reason why we decided on this topic when you and I had our conversation, was because of something that was going on inside of my home with my kids and bullying and what that was looking like. So I was really struggling with it, being that I grew up being a bully to the bullies. So I didn't deal well with people treating people poorly or adversely because of their social status or how they looked or because they were introverted or because they were different. It bothered me. So I would go after those people who went after them. So when my kids are being bullied, it's a little bit, you're as a parent, you kind of like, you knee jerk and you're like, I'm 12 today and I'm going to go beat this kid up. But you can't, you have to be the parent, right? You have to be the adult in the situation, even though your emotions are right. Run high, it's your children and you kind of turn into mama bear and you're like, I'm going to smack this little kid, but you're like, don't do that. So it's,
no, don't do this.
It becomes like, I mean, once you calm yourself down, it becomes a teaching moment for yourself and your child, because you've got to teach yourself how you're going to help your child advocate for themselves. And also really try and bring in those social networks that are designed to help protect and teach our children, right? So, because schools are a place that are supposed to, in my opinion, schools are supposed to do both. They're not there to babysit your children. They're there to educate your children. But in doing so, they're also, it's like work. You're there. It is a form of work for our children. They are there 8 hours a day, 7 to 8 hours a day with different adults that are going to impact and help shape and mold those children's lives. And there has to be an element of safety for those children to feel. When I think that sometimes the system's failing us, I get a little upset, but you know.
Yes. Very powerful, very passionate. So what's the single most powerful thing a mom can teach her child about standing up for themselves? What would you say?
You know, it's going to start with, you can't teach your child to stand up for themselves if they don't have any self-worth. So you really have to make sure that their self-esteem and their self-worth is intact and it's not attached to anything that would make them feel better. Like there's so many applications nowadays. My daughter was getting hooked on that, feeling some sort of self-worth based on how these people were responding or likes. And I had to shut that down and pull her phone away and remind her that she is enough on her own. And that is something that I strive for, being in an industry that is very male dominated, that you're enough as a female. I also have to make sure that my daughter doesn't feel that she's in my shadow. So I have to pull her up front and center and help her understand what I do, why I do it, and why I encourage it. I can't implement change in the world if I'm not doing it inside my own home. So it's just
absolutely.
In order to help a child stand up for themselves, you have to let them know their worth and that they are enough and that they are loved and that they are safe and that whatever they say, I may not agree with, but let's work through it together as a team.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with this. So how can we help kids speak up in ways that are respectful but assertive? Are there any magic phrases you recommend, or what
you
would
know,
you say?
I'm probably not the best person to ask that.
You know, well, you are the expert. So,
right. Because so here's the thing. So because I'm in these different circles where I have to have a level of diplomacy, I should say, it's better enunciation, diplomacy. There's times where that doesn't happen. I am You know, and I will say it, like my zodiac sign is an Aries, which means I have a lot of masculine energy. I'm very emotional. We're the child of the zodiac, so we will have temper tantrums. And that rings true sometimes, even as, you know, a female that is a powerhouse that wants to move forward and change aspects inside of industry. There's still those moments where people will trigger you based off of some PTSD and traumas that you've had to face, because you don't normally go running headfirst into a male-dominated industry and scream, I'm going to make some sort of impact for everybody to be happy without having some sort of trauma where you were like, I can do this. It's not a realistic goal. Most people stay in something that they're really good at. I'm like, let's get uncomfortable. So I think that when it comes to it, it's helping my children basically accept change, be okay with change, adapt, and the ability to adapt and how that looks, and stay positive during those points. That there's going to be points of frustration and anger and irritation, but that you have to stay positive. That change occurs for a reason. Whether it's good or bad, there's lessons in it. So
yes.
That's what I want to tell you.
Yeah. So it's really important to look at your child, right? So I think what you mentioned before is the self-worth and self-esteem. And I think this is the pillar of everything to set up a good conversation with others.
Yeah.
So
if I'm being honest, you said what words would I give my kids like to use? I always tell my children to speak to an adult that's the closest, that they feel comfortable with or that they feel safe with. Don't run to just any old adult. I've also taught my kids, if they're in a situation where they don't really know too many people, look for the meanest looking man in the room. He's probably got the biggest heart and has a family. He'll be the one that helps you. It's actually something I teach my kids. I'm like, don't go look for the clean cut guy. Go look for the guy that looks mean. the biker, the trucker, go look for them. They will. My experience has been, when you look for the meanest guy in the room, he's probably the biggest puppy dog. And if you go and say, this person's trying to hurt me, they're gonna go into their big brother or their daddy mode, and they're not gonna let anything happen, and they'll get you back. Yeah. So that's something that I tell my kids. Words I tell them to say is not always the best advice, if I'm being completely honest, because I'm someone who banters and I tease. So I'll tell my kids to use acronyms that sometimes I use as an adult, because my kids know what it means because I use them all the time, but they won't know what it means. And then it's kind of like, haha, I got one up on you because I said something to you that you don't understand, but I do. So it's my inside joke. I say, maybe I'm not the best person.
Okay. I got it.
I mean, as a parent, I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, make sure you find out what's wrong with them. I'm like, I don't care what's wrong with them. If they're going to be rude to you, then you just don't engage. Try and get yourself out of the situation. Speak to somebody that's going to help you. And if they don't help you, then you know what? Here's some catchphrases you can use to, you know, make them feel stupid. And if they hit first, finish it. I'm old school. I'm not like, oh, don't hit. I'm like, we don't hit first.
Was a scrub. Okay, no, that's going funny here.
Well, I mean, if you're asking me as a mother, yes, that's you know, I mean, as an adult, no, I don't want anything to turn into, I don't want violence at all. But especially in especially with where I live, it's not city police, it is RCMP, and RCMPs are not very forgiving. So they don't like dealing with anything like that. So they're not a very forgiving detachment out here. So I always tell my kids, pick and choose how you're going to react, because it could impact you for the rest of your life. They know mommy wanted to be a police officer at one point. I'm very well versed in the criminal code and laws within Canada and within our municipalities. So, you know, I explain to them why we don't choose violence, why we don't choose to do things against the law. But at the same time, I also tell them that they're their own individual and they will suffer the consequence of their actions. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's also important. So what's the one mistake parents often make when trying to help their kids handle social conflicts? Did you come across something inside school? How do other parents act?
God, the biggest mistake parents make, I'll tell you, because I don't make this mistake, but I watch it time and time again. They come in as the kids' lawyers and not the referees. When we were all kids, parents were like, let them figure it out. They're going to fight, if they're going to argue, if they're going to walk away and hate each other, that's on them. It's not even a half and half. It is like a small percentage of parents are the referees, where they're like, your problem, figure it out. you're getting to a point where you need to figure it out, where they'll sit the kids down, where the parents will sit and the kids will sit and they'll let them hash it out. And they'll only intervene if it starts to escalate to a point where it doesn't need to. More parents are coming in as the lawyer. My kid's so wonderful. My kid's so great. My kid would never do this. My kid, my kid, my kid, which creates entitlement, which creates these snotty little kids that think they can get away with anything and do all this crap and have no remorse and have no repercussions. And people are screaming, why is this generation turning out to be like this? Because you are creating it. Mm-hmm. Stop lawyering your children and start letting them figure it out on their own. These children have no critical thinking skills because they're told that they're so wonderful and great. My daughter has come home to me, so has my son, and sat and told me, I'm upset because my friends, blah, blah, blah. I go, what'd you do? And they're like, well, I didn't do anything. No. What'd you do? Mm-hmm. I'm like, if we're going to have an honest conversation and you want me to be on your side, I need to hear the whole story or I'm not commenting on it. And so they're really upset and they want to talk about it. And I just give them the platform, because if you give people a platform at any age, they'll talk. And they talk mm-hmm. and they tell me, and I've had to tell my kids a few times, no, you were the a-hole here. Sorry. Go apologize. You were in the wrong. And I think that that's more valuable to do as a parent than to be like, oh, your friends are just difficult. Don't worry. You're amazing. No, if you're the a-hole in this situation, I'm going to tell you, you are. And be like, go fix it. Like, go apologize. That was poorly handled, you know? And I think my kids are better off to hear the truth than to be like, you're my own special little snowflake and people just don't understand you. No, it's like, Jocelyn, you're an introvert. If you want people to understand that you don't handle conflict the same way, first of all, you spout off your mouth. You say, you know, passive aggressive comments. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be around people mm-hmm. who say passive aggressive comments. So just tell them, that hurt my feelings. I need some time.
What do you mean with passive aggressive? Give me an example, please.
Passive aggressive would be like, some of the kids will say something rude to her. And so she'll be like, well, at least my mom's alive or something like that. Like, it's passive aggressive. It's just like something that's really nonchalantly said, but creates mm-hmm. damage. It's rude. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, mm-hmm. She'll say something like, at least my parents have money. Something stupid that's rude. And I'm like, oh, your parents do, you don't. So cool story, you know, but it's just, it's correcting the little digs that don't need
yes.
to be happy, right? Because I mean, like,
it's no, teasing guilty, the other too.
Right. Like, I'm guilty of doing that, but I'm also an adult and I also can read the room and I take social cues of which people can handle those little digs and which people can't. Some people be like, oh, Lisa, that's rude and you're rude. And I'm like, no, I just tease. That's my love language. I tease people. If you don't like me teasing, I won't tease you. And so the majority of my really good friend group circle, there's like maybe two of them I won't tease. Like, I don't tease them because they can't handle it. It'll just turn into a fight. It'll blow up. So that's reading the people that you're around. If you care about them, then you hear them when they say, I don't like that. And that's what I teach my kids. I have friends in my circle that I love very dearly that don't like it when I do that. So I don't. That's showing them that I respect them enough to hear them and follow what they'd like. That's just being respectful. It's compromising. That's what friendships and love is.
So. Yes. So respect is a big point inside of this, right?
Yeah,
you can't just do whatever you want, but not being respectful for the people, at least that you love, at Ooh. Least that you care about. And so do you think kids learn to advocate for themselves more from what we say or what we do?
It's a great question. I believe that it's both, but I believe it's also individual. So there's some, like my son is me. He's a mini me. Ha ha, God, you know. So they always say you get a taste of your own medicine.
Can be nice, can be difficult.
this is definitely a taste of my own medicine. My mother would say, that's what she would tell me. She's like, ha ha. So, but my daughter's different. My daughter, although has a lot of my traits, she struggles to advocate for herself, seeing that her mommy is an advocate, seeing that her mommy goes out and protects people, seeing that her mommy is this woman that speaks on behalf of other people that don't have a strong enough voice or a loud enough one. And even though I encourage her and I support her and I embrace her, it's not in her character to advocate for herself at the same capacity. She's also going to be 14 years old. So that's a hard time to be in to really advocate for yourself. It's not going to come out the same way as it would if you're 18 or 19 or even 30, right? So my son, on the other hand, has no problem advocating for himself. He is very vocal. And if someone does something, he's more like his mom in the sense that if something's going on in his friend group that he doesn't like, he opens his mouth. He advocates. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I don't like how you're treating my friend. I don't like how you're talking to my friend. I don't like that you said that. He advocates for himself with his dad. He advocates for himself, you know, with teachers. And he's very well liked and he has high, high compassion. And that's something that all of the teachers have told me is that your son has a lot of compassion, which is great because it means if he has compassion, he has remorse, which means I don't have to worry that he's acting too entitled by any stretch because I don't want entitled children. But he's always there cleaning up. He's always there ensuring that everybody is okay and that whatever somebody needs, he helps. So I love that about him. Not that my daughter doesn't. My daughter's, if I'm going to be honest with you, my son does all these wonderful things outside of the home. But when he's home, I'm like, Mom's tired. Can you make dinner tonight? Now, my daughter was cooking at 8 years old. She's now 14 and she can make just about anything. She's very well-rounded. She does her laundry. She does chores. I believe in chores. Chores are huge. But my son, it's like pulling teeth. He's like, you know those reels that you see when they're like a kid from 1980 to kid to 1990, 2000s, 2010s. My son is the 2010. Fall on the floor, throw a tantrum. I don't want to do it. I have to go to the bathroom. Like, that's my son. My daughter is more like the 90s kid. So, she's between like the 80s and 90s. Actually, I'd even say she's more the 80s. It's like, you know, even at 14, if I'm like, honey, can you vacuum the floor? Yeah, no problem, Mom. And she stops whatever she's doing and she just does it and it's done. And that's something that I taught her. But she's always with me. She doesn't go spend any time with her dad. Her brother does. And their dad is very, he's more the lawyer. He's more like, you can do no wrong. You're wonderful. Everything's so great. You're a special little snowflake. And I'm like, no, you're being an asshole. So they have two very different parents. So Jocelyn doesn't resonate with
no her wonder dad. That you have got two different kids.
But my daughter doesn't resonate with her dad at all. She doesn't spend time with him at all. That's her choice. And I'm like, that's fine. Like I try to encourage her to go and spend time with her dad, especially her dad's family. Cause when I was a part of his life, I did really enjoy spending time with his family. So, except my mother-in-law, but you know, most people don't like that. Everybody else was spot on. So, but my daughter doesn't want to spend time with anybody. She just wants to be with her mommy all the time. And I mean, like, I've even, you know, she has, you know, she's, they both have talk doctors, which I call them talk doctors, but they're counselors and psychologists, you know, and those were put in before we separated and split. We were never married. So we're legal. I guess you'd call it legally separated, I guess is what it's called, which is not really even a thing because there's no document for it. It's basically like, bye, see you. Here's a division of matrimonial assets. And this is what we're doing with the kids. There's no like real document for it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but I mean, that's how we do it in Canada. And so, the kids, so my daughter, but it's funny because she is more like her dad that way, where there's like the underhanded comments and the, I don't want to deal with it and putting her head in the sand and not standing up for herself and having a little bit lower of a self. Some days her self-esteem is really high. Some days her self-esteem is not great. And that's where I have to, you know, give her the extra hugs, right? She needs extra hugs.
Yes.
And she's a very affectionate child. If there's no hugs, she feels very unloved and she feels very alone. She sees the relationship I have now with somebody else and she aspires to have that relationship. So what happens is she gets into these little situations online where I have to lock her online access down because then she has a boyfriend online, but she speaks to them the same way we speak to each other, like as in myself and my partner. And I'm like, no, honey, this is a fallacy. You can be whatever you want online. So then I have to lock down online. I have to take her phone away. I have to lock her phone up because I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
That's the difference that I do for parents. I'm like, as your kids get older, you have to monitor how they're dealing online. Cause I'm not going to lie.
I agree.
I've gone through a lot of tangents with her, like temper tantrum. Like I'm not going to lie. Like I went full on temper tantrum on her. I screamed, lost my mind. And I was, cause it's terrifying. I sit down and show her videos. I show her online stuff. The family knows. They send videos for her to see how very real like human trafficking is, luring is, all of that. And I sit down and we've like myself and my partner and some of my really good friends that are smart online, will go in and they'll even sit and talk with her and say, like, don't do that and don't do this. You're still young. You will find love, but the person, you have to be able to see them. And yes, people that you actually see in real life can decept you, but you got a better chance of figuring it out and not getting yourself into as much trouble if, you know, mom and I are here, or mom and, you know, or mom and dad are there, kind of thing. Then they can see what's going on and they can make decisions to help you make proper decisions. So
absolutely. Yes, that's it. You can use more senses just to figure out if you can sit face to face and see what's going on. Not only see, but you can, there is just more around it. Yeah. And yes, this is very, very great. And I really love to talk about this, but let's come back to the other point of advocating. What advice would you give to a child who feels intimidated by a friend or classmate? How can parents reinforce this?
So the advice that I gave, so I know we talked about a situation, but I didn't know that there was any bullying going on with my son until it blew up. With my daughter, so I can answer your question, she's come home and talked to me about people bullying her. And so my advice, as unorthodox as it is to equip her with loving the flaws inside of her. If she wants to change them, telling her that I will help support that change of anything she wants to change. When I say that, I mean her weight. She wants to get her eyebrows threaded. If she wants those kinds of things, you know, aesthetics like that. If she wants a different kind of makeup, I'm not saying like I want her to go to school with makeup on her face every day. She doesn't actually go to school with makeup on her face every day. She is 14, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
But still love the fact that my daughter tends to be very casual and she is very naturally pretty and she doesn't use a lot of makeup. And when she does put makeup on, she does feel a little bit prettier. Most girls do. I know I do. When I put some makeup on, I feel a little bit prettier, but that's more me. That's a more me thing than it is anything else. So with her, I equip her with being comfortable with the skin she's in and what they're bothering her about. I encourage her to de-escalate the situation by saying, I don't care for the way you're talking to me. Please stop. I encourage her to go and tell an adult at the school, mostly the administration, like the principal. So last year they had an amazing principal. They have a new principal this year. She seems to be working really well, but I mean, she's got her hands full. But the other principal that's now the superintendent is amazing. She is very proactive. So I usually encourage my kids to go to her and say, you know, this is kind of what's going on. Can you, you know, so that it can be documented. Cause I always tell my kids things need to be documented in order for things to move forward. And that's the way it is in legislation. If you want to see action, things need to be documented. So you need to be notifying your faculty. So your teachers, but more so like the principal of the school.
Yes.
And so they understand that. The next thing I do is like I said, it's very unorthodox, is I give them burns, how to roast people. I teach them how to roast people if they're not going to stop so that they have some ammunition. Kind of like,
okay.
Don't make a right. But I mean, you're asking, I'm going to tell you the truth. And that's,
yes,
you're saying it's an advocation. But so the advocation piece comes from standing up and saying, don't talk to me like that, and having it documented. But the other side of that coin is, here are some things you can say to retort if they're not going to stop and you can't get to the office fast enough and you're feeling some kind of way. Instead of hitting, because we don't hit, you can throw some words back.
Yes. Okay.
I encourage it? Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, I encourage the other two more so, but if they're not feeling like they're being heard, then yeah. You know, I mean, like when I was a kid, you didn't run to the principal's office all the time. You just threw some crap back at them and then they usually just shut up. But so it's kind of a generational thing, right? Like
it is. I would always say, okay, well, there are more possibilities, more opportunities now to really, if you want to bully someone, there are just more ways now, I think.
100%.
And, yes. And I think it's always a little tricky if it's a classmate or a friend, because you are going there and you see those people again and again and again. And it's always triggering you, even if you say, okay, leave me alone, I don't like to talk to you or something like this. I think it still can be very, hard to really to say, okay, how can I deal with this? So can you share a time your child surprised you by standing up for themselves or for someone else?
Oh, my son does it all the time.
I just wondering, must have been your son.
Yeah, my boy is, he is his mother's son, let me tell you. So there's times where, I think this is where you can really find some unity in your friendships. I think girls have it harder than boys. I think girls are way more savage than they've ever been. Girls are back in the high competitiveness versus, we've been trying to bridge that gap, but young women are very competitive towards each other and very slandery towards each other. Slandering. There's no such word as slandery. I'm making up words, Blanca. So an example, my son came home and told me, there was one time where my son came home and told me that one of the girls was beating up one of the boys at school. And he went and told the teacher and he told them not to do anything. And he stood up for them and said that whatever they needed, he would go do, which is something that I'm really big on with my kids. I'm like, you don't bully and you don't allow bullying. If you stand around and do nothing, you're just as bad. So that's something I tell my kids. So he went and told the teacher and let them know. He's done that quite a few times where he doesn't like what someone's doing. So he'll speak up or he'll say something really loud or he'll just go right to the teacher and tell them what's going on. Another time is where a girl decided that she was going to attack him, which is what you and I talked about. Mm-hmm. And I came home and he was actually trying to protect the situation because everybody was downplaying it at his school until mom got a hold of him and took pictures of his mouth and saw what was going on and lost my marbles on it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Since I talked to you, that was there the beginning stages of that. So the faculty did react.
Okay.
They gave her a 1-day in school suspension, which is garbage. She's crazy. So to me, I don't think we're getting any further in this debate of male female, because if a female attacks a male the way she did, which was vicious, the police won't do anything because I called them. They're like, oh, they're too young. They're 11. I don't care. We've put away people who've killed their parents at 12 years old. Like, she's already showing signs that she's going to turn into a misfit. Like, let's go. So at zero remorse, she never apologized to him and she still makes shitty little comments. Sorry, I swore. I told my son she wants to play competitive sports, co-ed competitive sports. I said, don't hold back. I said, I know you're a compassionate boy and you hold back for females. Not for that one.
Okay.
So I said, you play the sport the way the sport is played. She wants to step in the ring with the boys. It is what it is.
Okay.
And it so people will say, well, that's retaliation. Absolutely not. If women... Are if you've got, because right now we've got this pull right now, right? We've got people that are coming over that are, you know, you've got like this controversial topic of trans coming over and wanting to do this and women wanting equality. If you want equality, equality is what it is. It means you want to be treated the same. So I told my son, because most boys are taught don't hit girls. So you want to play in a high contact sport, you know, as a female with male.
Can't do.
Asking for equality. So I told my son, it is equality that you provide. We are not holding back. Those girls want to be there. They want to, they can take the hit. If they can't take the hit, then they'll get off the field. Period. He's in one where it's not contact at this point, but does it mean that, you know, things happen? I'm not saying make something happen. I'm just saying, you know, misplay the game. Don't try to stay away. You know, from this person, or don't try to avoid this person. Play the game the way it's played. Don't try and hurt them. That's not what I'm asking you to do. That's considered a retaliation. I'm not asking you to retaliate, but I'm telling you that this person gets away with too much. And I'm uninterested in the fact that that these parents, from what I understand from the faculty, they were very concerned. Well, if they were so concerned, why hasn't your child apologized to my child? Why has your child only shown remorse to the adults? Your child is a psychopath. She's a sociopath. You need to deal with that and get her some help. Because if my kids come to me and they tell me that they wouldn't even walk through the door without apologizing to somebody if they hurt them. Because my son said he had a friend that was hurting him and he hurt him back and said, I'm sorry. Whereas the other friend said, whatever, I hate you. And I'm like, okay, well, here's what it is. Leave it alone.
Okay.
But that's something where my son's friends, because my son has advocated for them and stood up for them, they stood up for him and they went to his side and they told the story of the, well, I shouldn't say a story because it wasn't a story. They told the events that occurred all the same. And that was something the faculty had told me when I sat down with the administration. They said everybody had the same story. It was actually a very easy investigation, which then made me angry because I was like, well, why is this little twerp walking around for an entire week if the investigation was completely easy? Why'd you wait an entire week? Why wasn't she reprimanded right then and there? That's how it's supposed to happen. That's why they tell you don't get a dog in trouble when it does something, but you come home after the day and it's done. They're not going to understand. They're like, what happened? That's the same thing with parenting. Yes. You don't spank your children 4 hours later because mom told you that they did something or dad told you that they did something. You scold them right then and there. That's when it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. you're creating. I mean, that's the way they did it back in the day, right? You wait till your father comes home and then kids are like, and then they go to wait. Then what happens is that they're terrified for the first 20 minutes to an hour because they're like, oh my God. And then they look at the time and they're like, oh, dad's not home till 5. I'll worry about it. And the kids are terrified because they're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Am I going to die today? But that's not a fair place to be. That's a bad mental place to be for anybody. So did I answer your question for you? Because I mean, I kind of go off on these little like story tangents. So did I answer
your question? Yes. I would like to know your takeaway from this.
Takeaway from what? The incident?
No, from that your son was standing up for someone else, is standing up for himself, which is not a real surprise for you.
No.
But because...
Proud,
okay.
Pride, right? It's a sense of pride as a parent. Like, for me, I'm proud of my children all the time, but I make a point of telling them that I'm proud of them when they accomplish things that they set out to do. You set out to protect someone, I'm proud of you. You set out to stand up for yourself, I'm proud of you. You set out to make sure you pass this grade with a B or an A, I'm proud of you. Those are things I'm proud of. I want them to be able to create goals and standards for themselves and attain them, however that looks, as long as it's within the fines of, you know, legalities, right? I don't want them going out doing something crazy. But as long as they're attaining those goals, whether they're big or small, it's a sense of pride. And so I need them to know that, because one of the big things that a lot of people didn't hear growing up was, I'm proud of you. And it's something that they still haven't heard to this day. I was lucky enough to hear my parents tell me they're proud of me. But, you know, and even my kids, you know, I mean, there's things that my kids have done to show me that they've advocated for me, right? So my son advocated for me, and I told him how proud I was, because his father and I, when we were going through a separation, was really brutal. Like, he's got very deep pockets. He's a businessman. And I just left. I walked away. I just wanted nothing to do with it. I rebuilt my entire life from nothing. I walked away when I was 37. I'm 43 now, and I rebuilt my entire life. And that means including buying my house, buying everything in my house, furnishing it, everything. I did everything, you know, and that was hard, especially considering we had like 3 homes, you know. It was hard. It was a hard pill to swallow, you know, being with someone that had all this money and all you wanted was just one place to live and have the, and if they weren't going to supply the place to live, to at least supply the furniture for it, since we had it and we had, you know, we'd got it together. But that wasn't in his realm. He wanted everything. He comes across very narcissistic, and I found out that he had lots of really nasty things to say. And it got to a point where my son was smart enough to realize. I remember one day I said to him, I said, I'm going into mediation, son. I need to know what you want, because I'm not going to waste my time, waste my money, and waste my breath for you if you don't want it. So what do you want when it comes to seeing dad? You know, mom will let you go whenever you want. And he goes, yeah, I don't know why you guys are fighting. He goes, it seems to me like dad just wants to try and win something or hurt you because you never stop me from going. 10 years old, he said that to me. Oh. He figured it out. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I said, maybe you should tell dad that. At first, he was a little nervous. He's 10. He's like, I don't want my dad to be mad at me. I said, well, then we're going to go talk to your talk doctor, and you're going to tell her. And so I walked in and I said, here's the situation. Hard on him, because he's the one who sees both parents. I'm primary care, but he does go and spend time with dad. I've never stopped him. I've doubled up their weekends. If he wants to spend time in the middle of a Wednesday, like, go, as long as you're not in school, like, fine, whatever. I've never said no. The only time I've ever said no is when my son is sick, because my ex does not take care of him properly, and he's proven that. So other than that, he goes. So his therapist spoke to dad and said, this is how your son is feeling, and he's upset, and he doesn't look at this as anything more than you trying to hurt his mother. And based on my conversations with your son, you're on the fast track to losing him how you lost your daughter if you keep attacking their mother. Because she's not stopping him from going. She's not saying anything relatively horrible about you in front of him. And she's very encouraging of his time with you. And so that stopped. The lawyers stopped. Everything stopped. Because dad's image-based, right? But that was a moment where my son's voice mattered and put a stop to the fighting. And I sat down with him and he said to me, okay, mom, I talked to dad and I talked to my doctor and I said, told them what needed to happen. And I said, yeah. And because of it, we're not fighting anymore. There's no more lawyers. There's no more court. There's no more nothing. It's done. And he's like, oh. Yeah. And he looked at me and I said, you protected our family and you stopped your dad from not seeing the right vision. And he was like, and he got really smiley and he got this great sense of like self-pride that, you know,
yes,
I was the man of the house. I protected my mom and my sister and I did what I needed to do. And what the lesson for him was in it was the truth will set you free. Because I've always told my kids that tell the truth. The truth will always set you free. And so that's, and he said, I spoke my truth and they heard me. And I said, yeah, they did. And I said, that's why mom has certain people in certain places for you to tell that you can feel safe with. They heard you and they stood up for you and they helped you with your voice. So it was Tyler.
That's so awesome.
Right? So that's something that's
it's really such a heartful story.
Yeah.
That you share here. Mm-hmm. It's very, I think this is, if you can strengthen your kids to really to stand up for themselves and not only for themselves, but also for those whom they love, it so just goes back to them, right?
Yeah, it's very rewarding. It's very rewarding,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a sense of self-pride and just knowing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you could give every child one superpower for standing up for themselves, what would it be and why?
Ooh, one superpower. That's a great question. You know what? Like one superpower.
It's like the magic one.
You know what? Discernment. I would give them discernment because when you're able to take yourself out of that situation and see it from mm-hmm. a different side and have, you know, the equal parts of compassion, but diplomacy makes it easier to solve problems for that critical thinking. So in order to have a little bit of discernment when you're dealing with problems of any sort, whether it's most problems come from people, but you know, anything that comes up, that's probably what I would give them because not a lot of people.
That's great.
And I struggled with discernment for the longest time.
Yes, that's great. But well, this may change the world here.
I don't know about that, but I mean, whoever can help, I mean, I would love, I mean, those things help me, right? I mean, there's lots of things you go through and you experience that help you see differently, right?
So, yeah. So let's talk about your business a little. So you build up everything around you yourself and you just go for it. And you're such a powerful woman.
Well, thank you.
What are you doing?
I'm a construction consultant. So my company is LPM Enterprises, LTD, and we're out of Calgary, Airdrie and area. So I go all around Alberta. As an LPM, as the LPM owner, I also sit on different volunteering roles for the nonprofit societies. I focus highly on condominium because condominium people are the ones that get the most taken advantage of when they're doing their reserve. So I say we're in your construction, just so we're clear. I'm in the renovation circle of construction. Mm-hmm. So when you're living in a condominium, any reserve expenditure that you need to move forward in, or if you have leaks or losses, is also where I'm all heavily certified. I come in and I help you. I go over it with you. I will work with the trades with you. I will help you vet your trades. I will help the property managers take a lot of the load off of them because they're not project managers. They're not supposed to be involved as quite as heavily.
Mm-hmm.
So I have kind of like that project management feel, but I'm not really a project manager. I'm more kind of like the owner's representative slash like Best way that I got described, I have a really good girlfriend of mine. She's a property manager. She's like, the way I would describe you is like a construction adjuster. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because you basically, that's what you do. She's like, you protect the and you know all of the ins and outs of construction. You know where they're going to do their cheats. You know how to talk their language. You know how to speak engineer. You know how to speak, you know, architect. And she's like, and you keep everybody going. And you're like that massive communicator, but you're not, you're so much more than just a communication liaison. Because she's like, you help explain it to the board, but then you help them make the right decisions. And then you stay on top of all those decisions and make sure they don't get taken advantage of. And I was like, yes. So it's a niche circle that I'm in for industry. And, you know, I mean, it gets difficult because you've got two different types of people in the industry. You've got the property management firms that kind of want to try and, I'm going to say this, it's going to sound like crap. But it's almost like they want to burn out their staff by taking on these projects to get like the 2 or 5% that they might get out of it. And that's wrong. They shouldn't be doing it. They should either hire somebody to do that specifically, or they need to bring in an independent like me to help them. And then like, cause I work for the board. I get paid by the board. I work for the board. So I work for that corporation, which means if owners come and talk to me, I'm not talking to you. You're paying me. So I'm going to talk to anybody. I'm going to be careful with what I say, and I'm going to let the board know these are the things that we're doing. And I'm going to talk to your ownership. If they talk to me, what are some of the things you'd like me to keep out of it? And that's where they say, you know, these are some of the things, because they know their demographic. They know their people. So they might say, Lisa, let's not talk money. Let's not talk that we might have to do a cash call. Let's not talk this, but you can talk about the project and you can talk about the different materials that we're looking at. No problem. That's what I'll do. So that's what, and because I don't believe that ownership should be left in the dark. It's their money that's going to this as well, right?
Yes. Yes.
So that's it. Yeah. The board is making the decision, but the ownership is the one paying for it.
If someone is watching and saying, oh, she's exactly what I'm searching for, where can people find you, reach out to you?
You can find me
on your website.
Yeah, I have a website.
On social media.
LPMenterprises.net is my website. They can find me on LinkedIn under Lisa McGrath, or LPM Enterprises on Instagram, TikTok. TikTok is more my podcast, but it has my LPM aspect on it. So Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn is where I am. But if you want to find if you want to find me directly and not just the company pages, then you got to look up Lisa McGrath.
So wonderful. I love this. And your podcast is called?
It's called Devil's Acumen Trades Edition.
Wow. So that's it. So wonderful. Thank you very much for being my guest here. I really appreciate it. You being honest and just pure, throwing out your opinion. That's it. It's great. I love it.
I really appreciate you taking the time to sit and talk to me, because, you know, a lot of times I think it's great what you're doing, because there is another side to the businesswoman, to the working mom, to the mothers come in so many different layers. And I think that everybody needs an opportunity to see that every mother has a voice and every mother does the things that we do, right? So, and we all have an opinion.
Absolutely.
And we all need to stick together, because that's how tribes are built, and that's support systems.
Yes.
And that's what we need as women, is support systems.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And to all the listeners, please subscribe and stay tuned.